Proverbs chapter 12, let's all read together one verse, that's verse number 13. So find verse number 13 there in chapter 12, and let's read together now Proverbs 12 and verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Lord, thank you again for every promise in your word. Help us to latch a hold of every one of them, and Lord, just to look to you, and again, encourage our hearts, meet with us tonight. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn. I am of the mindset, I believe what the Bible says. I believe I'm in a church that believes the same thing. Sadly, there are many today who don't believe what the Bible says, and what you just read tonight is a twofold promise, maybe even more than that, but at least a twofold promise that is found here. And we're going to look at that tonight. And there are many precious jewels found throughout the book of Proverbs, and such is the case here in this study. Look, if you would, please, there it says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. I want you to notice with me that the verse says this, the just shall come out of trouble. That little truth, this little golden nugget hidden here in this one little teeny tiny verse. And I believe what it says. I believe what the Bible says. I'm not looking for another answer. I'm not looking for anything else. This is what works, and this is what we need to stick with. And there is a wonderful promise that is made in this verse and in this study. We're going to take a closer look at it. But before we do that, I wanted to find three things in this particular verse. First of all, look, if you would please, at the little phrase, the wicked. It refers to an evil man, that is a man who causes great harm to others with the words that he speaks. Might want to call him a silver-tongued devil. I'm not sure what else you would call him. But he uses his words to tear people apart. He causes damage, which is what the word evil means. And notice here the word transgression, if you would. It refers to revolt, or to be in rebellion against a lawful or God-ordained authority. And the same word is used in Psalm 51. And if you want to keep your finger where it's at and go to Psalm 51 or write a cross-reference in your Bible to Psalm 51 and verse 13, where he says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." So there you have transgressors and the word transgression, which refers to a revolt or rebellion against lawful authority or God-given authority. And then there is a third little phrase here, the word just, the just. It refers to the fact that this individual, Old Testament speaking now, is truly one that has trusted the Lord. We call him saved. And in that salvation is the same in every book of the Bible. In every testament, in every dispensation, if you want to use that word, this word here for the just refers to those who are saved. And so we must understand that, truly saved. And it describes also, this is something else, it's got a twofold punch to it. It describes the life that he lives, not just that he's saved, but he lives like a saved individual. He's got a testimony that's consistent with his words. Unlike the wicked who use their words to destroy people and hurt people. Now, the question is, what is the promise that's made in this verse? The promise is that the saved person who chooses to live righteously, and again, keep that in mind, the saved individual who chooses to live righteously is going to have a way out of trouble. I believe that. You know why I believe it? Because the Bible says it. And if the Bible says it, that settles it. End of report. And we're not going on human experience tonight. We're not going on, yeah, but I know somebody that lived righteously and they didn't get delivered out of their trouble, maybe not in your eyes, and maybe you didn't know the entire story. But notice what it says here. It says that the person who is saved, who's living righteously, not in rebellion, not in revolt against God-given authority or God-made authority or lawful authority, this individual's going to be, he's going to have a way out of trouble. And many times Christians wonder whether or not they will ever be delivered out of trouble. I've been in the ministry long enough to know that what I just said is very, very accurate. Even when you read in the New Testament, the individuals that are up in heaven waiting for things to change here on earth, one of the things that they said was, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord?" And down here, there are many believers who lose their faith, they trade their faith, they quit on God because they don't see a way out of trouble. But the Bible promises here that he will give them a way out. And God gives a promise that if we will not live in rebellion against God-given authority, lawful authority, there will be a way out of trouble. That's the promise that God made. Now let me read the verse again to you. He simply says, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips." There's one promise. A snare is a hidden trap. It's a little trap that catches animals by their feet or by their lower leg. It's a snare. It's not one where like a mouse trap, where it will snap shut and kill it. A snare will hold its victim. And what they don't realize, the Bible says that these individuals are taken by their transgressions. But then the other promise is, the just shall come out of trouble. The wicked are snared, they're stuck in the trouble. The righteous ones, the just ones, are delivered out of that. And so that's important. Now, interesting here. If you want to take notes, I'm going to give you tonight 2 points, and that is all. So I want you to follow along very, very carefully. First of all, the Bible says the wicked is snared. Number one, the wicked is snared. It's that promise that's made, and the evil individual is not only rebellious against authority, but with his words, he tries to seduce others away from the truth and cause damage and harm to him. This is the ringleader in a gang. This is the one that wants everybody to follow him and do as I do and all the rest of it. This is an individual who's causing great harm. And the word wicked here is that Hebrew word which means to cause great harm. That's something you got to remember. The word wicked, the word evil, the wicked individual is one who causes great harm, you see. And the promises made to this man is that he is going to be trapped by his own words. He will be trapped by his own words. I'm going to give you some examples, and I want you to take your Bible and go there. And if you want to write the reference in by the point that I give you, you can, because I'm going to read some passages of Scripture that show exactly what this verse is promising. Number one underneath that, or I have Korah in Numbers chapter 16. Korah, K-O-R-A-H. And starting in verse 1, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses." Now what that doesn't mean they went and stood in front of him, though it carries that meaning. It means they stood up against him. They stood up against him. And notice that they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." What makes you better than them? Now jump down to verse 31, and we're going to read verses 31 through 35. "And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder and was that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and the men that appertained to Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense." Interesting here. Oh, Korah was a rebel to begin with, but he rose up against Moses and he took men with him, and all of them perished. You get caught in a snare. The snare is there to catch something so that it can be killed or destroyed, and that's what happened to them. Then there's another story in the Bible that I want to give you. Go to Daniel chapter 6. We find here the accusers against Daniel, God's man. These accusers accused him. Listen to what it says in verse 24. It says, "And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel." Now remember, the wicked are the individuals that with their words are in rebellion against God-given and God-ordained authority, which Daniel was. And it says, "And they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or even they came at the bottom of the den." They caught them in midair and killed them. Amazing story. But these men spoke against Daniel, and Daniel simply spoke for the Lord. Very, very interesting. Their words ended up being their own snare. And once again, the Bible is true on every aspect and gives the exact thing as said that these individuals would be taken with the snare of their own words. And the Bible makes it perfectly clear that those who choose to use their tongues in rebellion will find themselves snared by the very words that they used. Is there another verse in the Bible that mentions anything about that? Proverbs chapter 26, please. And it says in verse 27, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him." These are promises that God has made. Digging a pit for others, stone's going to roll on you, they're going to fall in their own pit. That God just gives this principle through the Word of God. God's people can't get away with rebellion, and neither can the unsaved. One more example in Scripture, if I can give you that. An individual by the name of Adonijah, A-D-O-N-I-J-A-H, Adonijah. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life." And Adonijah had lived in rebellion against David and now uses his words to gain access to the throne. And before it was all said and done, Adonijah was put to death for his deceit and for his rebellion. These are just a few examples that the Word of God gives, but they all go together with this Proverbs chapter 12 that we're looking at. And let me just read the verse to you one more time. With these illustrations in mind, it says, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips." And each one of these stories showed the transgression of evil men, wicked men, and it showed how they were trapped by their own words. Very interesting that the Bible would give that kind of conclusion to their lives. The truth is, you need to be careful what you say and how you say it and who you say it to, because every word that you speak, the Bible says, will one day going to come back. Got to be really careful. And God's own people need to be very, very careful. And if you speak in rebellion and deceit, the Bible promises this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." See how these truths all go together? Now, that's only the first part, and I'm not trying to scold my church family. Don't think that. I'm trying to teach you a truth, two truths out of one verse. And one is rebellious, harmful words are going to come back on people. But then I want you to notice this second promise that's given here. And I'm going to read a couple of illustrations after this, but I want you to see it says, "The just shall come out of trouble." The verse does not teach that a righteous person will not enter into trouble. Don't think that. It doesn't say that. It says he'll be delivered out of trouble, which means he got into trouble in one way or another. And it does happen even to those who love the Lord, but rather once he's in trouble, the Bible says there's a way out for him in trouble, which is interesting. Well, now why? Because he's living righteously. He knows the Lord. He's trying to do what's right. It does not protect him from getting into trouble, but it says that God will make a way out of that trouble for him. It's also a promise that God gave. It says, definitely, because it's a promise, it's definitely going to come to pass. You can trust God's word here. It doesn't mean you ought to go out looking for trouble. It doesn't mean you ought to go out trying to get into trouble, but it does say that you can't avoid getting into trouble, but you can also, if you're doing what you ought to be doing, if you're saved, know the Lord as your personal Savior, and if you're doing your best to live a Christian life that would be pleasing to the Lord, he says he's going to make a way for you to escape, so to speak. And many believe that if you're a saved person living right, you're never going to be in trouble. That's just not right. The best Christians that I know and the best Christians that you know have had lots of trouble in their lives. And it's not because necessarily they brought it upon themselves. Now, I've been in the ministry long enough to know that there are some believers who think they can do no wrong and they get in trouble because they do wrong and they didn't think they did wrong, but they did wrong anyhow and they got in trouble and they didn't get out of it. Why? Because what they thought was right was not right. It was actually perhaps a form of rebellion. This is simply not true. Daniel was still thrown into the den of lions. The three Hebrew children were still thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And Job lost everything that he had, including the loyalty of his wife. And Hezekiah was still captured by the enemy. And Elijah was still chased down by wicked Jezebel. And John the Baptist was beheaded for preaching the truth. By the way, he got delivered because before his head hit the ground, he got a new head. Just want you to know that. God delivered him. The promise is made that the just shall come out of trouble. For example, let me give you an example here of Joshua and Caleb. You have your Bibles? Go back to Numbers chapter 14. I want to read three verses out of this chapter. Numbers chapter 14, and look first of all at verse 10. It says, "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." Now jump down to verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And then down to verse 30. "Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." So there you find those doing what's right and God delivering them. Interesting here, the minority ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 long years. Interesting. And God kept his word about those who choose to live rightly and follow God's word and follow God's man the way that God has set that leadership up. And so it's interesting here. The example here I want to give you is of a missionary. And I'm going to read his story. Her story, her name is Miss Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N. So let me read for you this story, okay? "It was a tragic night in a Chinese city. Bandits had surrounded the mission compound, sheltering hundreds of women and children. On the previous night, the missionary, Miss Monson, had been put to bed with a bad attack of malaria, and now the tempter harassed her with questions. 'What will you do when the looters come here, when the firing begins on the compound, and about those promises you have been trusting?'" People doubt and question when hard times come. In his book, A Thousand New Illustrations, Al Bryant records the result of Miss Monson's prayer. Here's what she prayed: "Lord, I have been teaching these young people all these years that thy promises are true, and if they fail now, my mouth shall be forever closed. I must go home." Well, throughout the next night, she was up ministering to frightened refugees, encouraging them to pray and to trust God to deliver them. Though fearful things happened all around, the bandits left the mission compound untouched. In the morning, people from three different neighborhood families asked Miss Monson, "Who are those four people, three sitting and one standing quietly watching from the top of your house all night long?" When she told them that no one had been on the housetop, they refused to believe her saying. "We saw them with our own eyes." She then told them that God still sent angels to guard his children in their hour of danger. See, do you believe that? I do believe that. That's only one story of many that are similar in many ways. Here's another illustration. Listen carefully. A small group of American Marines in the 1st Division had been trapped up north in Korea. With a thermometer at 20 degrees below zero, they were close to freezing to death, and they had nothing to eat for 6 days. Surrender to the Chinese seemed their only hope of survival. But one of the men, a Christian, pointed out certain verses of Scripture and taught his fellow soldiers to sing a song of praise to God. Following this, they heard a crashing noise and turned to see a wild boar rushing toward them. And as they tried to jump out of its way, he suddenly just stopped in his tracks. One of the soldiers raised his rifle to shoot, but before he could fire, the boar toppled over without any explanation. They rushed to kill the boar, only to find that he was already dead. And that night they feasted on meat and began to regain their strength. The next morning, as the sun was rising, they heard another noise. Their fear that a Chinese patrol had discovered them suddenly vanished as they found themselves face to face with a South Korean who could speak English. He said, "I will show you out." He led them through the forest and mountains to safety behind their own lines, and they looked up to thank him and found that he had simply disappeared. What do you think happened? I wasn't there, but it sounds to me like God was taking care of them. See, do you believe stories like that? I have no reason to doubt them, because I read in the Bible how God makes promises, then I choose to believe the Bible. I don't need anything else. I've got this book, and God has made the promises, and all the promises of God are true, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And I choose to believe what God has said, and I want my church family to choose what God has said. And all of these things that I've read for you tonight found in Proverbs 12:13, which simply says, the just shall come out of trouble. Didn't say they didn't have trouble. It said they're going to come out of trouble that they're in. Now, either the Bible is true or it's not. But it cannot be both true and false when it comes to the promises of God. Preacher, are there any New Testament verses that would back up what you taught by way of a promise? Well, yes, there is. But let me read you one here. You know it by heart. I know you do. 1 Corinthians 10:13, where the Bible says there is no temptation taken you. That word temptation is descriptive of trouble, trials, circumstances that are negative in our lives. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But what does it say? Say it with me. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. If it was only taught in the Old Testament, that would be plenty enough. But it's also taught in the New Testament as a fulfillment of Old Testament promises as well, taught and fulfilled in the New Testament. But there's a key to the entire thing. Now remember, our study is lessons from Proverbs. This is an important lesson from the book of Proverbs. Not just a Bible study, not just a teaching, not just a sermon, if you want to call it that. This is a principle found in the book of Proverbs, a lesson that we can learn from. The promise is not made to those who do evil in the sight of the Lord, especially evil with their lips. That kind of cuts out backbiting and gossip and all the different things the Word of God says grieves the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning before verse 32, where the Bible admonishes us to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. A number of things that grieve the Holy Spirit are found there. God says that these people are going to be snared and by the very hurtful words that they speak. And he made a promise of that. They're going to be snared by it. This promise is to the just, that is, those who are made righteous in Christ and who live righteous lives as much as they can in the power of the Spirit of God. Doesn't say they live sinless. Doesn't say that's like kind of like Job. The Bible says he was a perfect man, but that didn't mean he was a sinless man. He was a mature Christian who did what he could to do what was right. And David said he had a perfect heart. He didn't have a sinless heart, obviously. But we understand that this is the kind of life that God wants us to live. And he says he'll, when trouble comes, he'll show us a way out. And if you're going to have trouble as a Christian, and you will have trouble as a Christian, the best way to find a way to escape is to live right. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Do you see, as I do in this study, the consistency of the Word of God? I have no reason to doubt God's promises. Every promise in the book is true, every one of them. And it doesn't matter what that promise is. And there are some promises in the Bible and prophecies in the Bible that have not yet come true, but they're on their way. But just because they haven't showed up yet doesn't mean that they're not coming. God is faithful to His Word, just to His Son, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And the principle that we have tonight is that the just shall come out of trouble. But that individual with a wicked tongue lives in rebellion. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. It'll snare him and hold him until the hunter comes. You see, the snare was not designed, as far as I understand snares, the snare was not designed to kill. The snare was designed to capture. And that's exactly what this verse teaches. He's snared by the transgression of his lips.